Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. Guess who I've got with me today?
I'm going to tell you.
My fine.
The last 2 days, you did a remarkable job, and that's such a powerful teaching about our heritage, about America.
Yeah.
It really is.
Thank you, darling.
And you we got a lot of compliments on
it. I appreciate
that,
yes.
You really do.
We do. Thank you, Lawrence, for your sweetness. You're so faithful to us, too.
Yeah. There's several others, honey. Anyhow, on today's call, July 6th,
yes.
Here's our Do Not Be Afraid scripture.
Wow. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt will be with you.
Hallelujah.
Good word for today.
It is, baby.
Yeah, so today.
One of my favorite quotes, and I know it is yours.
What's the name of today's program?
What's your money philosophy?
Okay. I just wanted you to spit it out.
One of your favorite people?
Yes.
Is former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Margaret Thatcher.
Yes, indeed.
Who, Baroness Thatcher once said,
"No one would remember the Good Samaritan if he only had good intentions. He had money as well." There you go. And was willing to use it for someone who was, you know, in need. We remember the Good Samaritan not just for his good intentions, but because he did have money as well and used it. Money or the lack of money often affects our philosophy of life. I should say that again. Money or the lack of money often affects our philosophy of life.
True.
Recently, the Lord was showing us a little different look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Actually, it's been a while now, because it's just so amazingly good. He just prompts us every once in a while to go remind the folks about these three distinct money philosophies that are revealed in the story. They are life-changing. Luke 10, verse 30 says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." The first money philosophy is,
what is yours is mine.
There you go. That prevails today.
The motivation of a thief could be evil, envy, or error. An evil man has poor self-image without the benefit of a good moral center. He will take the path of least resistance. He finds it easier to lie, cheat, and steal than to focus his energy in a positive manner.
Mm.
A heart without a moral compass has lost its way and views people with contempt. Evil behavior is most passed down through the generations. However, the good news,
yes,
is that one touch from God can turn even the darkest personality into one as pure as snow.
Think of that.
A heart filled with envy is never satisfied with what they have. Always wants what someone else has. These are the people who covet what their neighbor possesses. They are also those thieves who operate in error because they try to justify their sin. This type of mentality will rationalize what they steal because they have another alternative to survive. This person will cite their lack of education or opportunity. Situational ethics is a bogus philosophy because sin is sin. The thief has a misguided money philosophy. What's yours is mine. Wow. What's yours is mine.
That's right.
That's just amazing. It really is.
But we can go a little further. Because in Luke 10, 31 and 32 says, "And by chance there came down a certain priest their way, and when he saw them, he passed by the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." The second money philosophy we see demonstrated is, what's mine is mine. There are a lot of people like that today.
Yes, there are.
There are people that are more likely to disregard the giving of their time and their money to help or bless others. Because, well, sadly, some people don't want to get involved with helping others because it's inconvenient or it comes with a price called money, or perhaps they just don't care. Neither of the three viewpoints line up with the Word of God. You know, we have a scriptural responsibility to help and care for those who are in need. In fact, it shouldn't be a question that we have to ask ourselves in our minds. 1 John 3:17. 1 John 3:17 in the Classic Amplified says, "But if anyone has the world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him?"
Wow.
That's a very good scriptural
question.
Not ours, scripture. The whole "what's mine is mine" attitude also reflects the attitude of shortage. This person's limited thinking revolves around limited resources, either in money or time, maybe both, and they're unwilling to sow either of them into the lives of someone else. The fear is there won't be enough money or time for what is on my own agenda. In truth, this philosophy is one of self-indulgence.
So true.
And we can fall into it without even realizing it. The Good Samaritan displayed the third money philosophy. What's mine is yours.
Wow. What's mine is yours.
Is yours.
Luke 10:33-35. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, 'Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay you.'" The Good Samaritan recognized that all good gifts are from God. You read that in Matthew 7:11. He also understood that when you bless someone else in need, God will bless you.
Ooh, yes.
Here comes our scripture, Ephesians 6:8 in the New Living Translation. "Remember that the Lord will reward each of us for the good we do." We are admonished throughout scripture to develop a heart of compassion, to love others with the love of God. 2 Peter 1:7, Classic Amplified. "And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love." The good news is that developing and displaying Christian love brings its own reward.
Yes.
2 Peter 1:7, Classic Amplified. "And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. Exercise in brotherly affection, develop Christian love." The good news is developing, displaying Christian love brings its own reward.
2 Peter 1:8 in the New Living Translation says, "The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, however, it's important to consider some other things in the story of the Good Samaritan. Like in Luke 10:34, it says, "And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him." First, he went to him. The Good Samaritan didn't take the other side of the road. It says he chose to make a conscious decision to get involved, even though under normal circumstances, it was unlikely that a person would give the Samaritan the time of day. But second, he also bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. In that day, oil and wine weren't necessarily cheap. They were carried by those who had some financial resources. So he was using something of value to care for this man. And third, the Good Samaritan didn't just fix the man's wounds and leave him. The scripture says he set him on his own beast, brought him to the inn, walked, you know, the Samaritan walked to the nearest inn when he could have ridden. The scripture doesn't indicate how long the walk was, but we can tell you it probably wasn't that close. On 2 occasions, we've been and traveled that road, and it's a pretty desolate landscape even now between those two destinations. Who knows how much more it was really in biblical times? And fourth, we don't know the purpose of the Good Samaritan's journey. Perhaps he was on business. But regardless, he set aside his own personal agenda to further take care of the man, says he spent time with him, and he didn't hesitate, I want to say, to get involved with his life, or to do something that simply because it was inconvenient, he stopped his daily routine and helped. Fifth, the next morning, the Good Samaritan said the innkeeper paid him for 2 months' lodging, so obviously this man really needed some recovery, with a promise to cover additional expenses. The Samaritan obviously had money and had a good name and was respected to be able to leave him for 2 months in the care of the lodge. Finally, there's the question of the hour. If we are confronted with an opportunity to help someone, like the Good Samaritan was, would we have the funds and the heart to do what we needed to do, or would we walk on the other side of the road?
Well, sadly, there are those who are unwilling to help others because of what they feel. Well, that it might cost them too much. When you're in debt, your ability to help others is limited, even if you feel the urge to. Luke 10:36, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? There's a television commercial for an insurance company that says, like a good neighbor, they are there. Are you free enough in your finances to be there when your neighbor has a need? Does your financial situation determine your philosophy of life?
Mm.
Now that's something to think about.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and amen. We pray that you have a tremendous Thursday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you again for that teaching on July 4th.
You're welcome. And the 5th. I got long-winded.
You did good. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.